Well, that went quicker than it should have, amen. All right, if you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at a few things here this morning. Brother Galyon, thank you for that special. Isn't it something how man wants to destroy that which provides the very life that we have? It just never ceases to amaze me at the pride of man. I heard somebody say one time that God made us from dirt, so we're a bunch of walking, talking dirt balls. Isn't that something to be proud of? You understand what I'm saying? But yet man is so proud. All right, 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go to chapter 4. Speaking of the lighthouse, God's not done, amen? Amen. He's not done with us. He's coming back to get us. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning. I was seeing some things on the news and some things on that smartphone and whatnot, but man just really seemed to hate God. You know, I really can't understand that. We're talking about the babies trying to fight and just to get aid for a child. I mean, I don't understand how we want to save the whales and kill the babies. That's just something that's never, ever made any type of sense to me. If you were to kill a cat today, they want to put you in prison. And, you know, I don't believe in animal abuse. You know, I mean, it's not right, it's wrong, but at the same time, it's an animal compared to a child. I mean, there should be no discussion on that issue whatsoever. So y'all be praying for these folks. And you know what causes all that, right? It's sin. These people are depraved. I mean, they have a mind that's just full of filth and sin. And so we need to remember that, and we need to be praying for those people. We was talking about just a few moments ago about praying for our brothers and sisters. Well, we need to pray for the lost people. You know, if it weren't for somebody praying for you and I, or telling you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be one of them. You know, I think about that a lot. I'm like, man, that could be me. That could have been me right there. So I thank God as a child, and we just coming off of camp, and I just thank God as a child, I was saved at 12 years old. And so a lot of the things that people have to deal with, I never had to deal with. God protected me and kept me away from all those things. And so I thank the Lord for that, and we need to keep that in our minds and in our hearts, and we need to be praying for these children. Folks, we just really, truly need to pray for one another. Honestly, we don't do it enough. And some of us can say, oh, yeah, you don't know how much I pray. Yes, I do. Look at our nation. Look at the state that we're in as a country. Obviously, Christians aren't praying the way we should be praying. We're not living our lives the way we should be living our lives. And what brought this to my mind this morning in Thessalonians is that I kind of want to take a look at the way things are going to progress. I don't know about you, but I believe we're in the last days. And I believe the rapture's imminent. I believe it can come in any time. It'd be all right with me if it came before we get out of here this morning. And I look forward to it, but at the same time, it saddens me. You know, when we're all taken out of here, these people who hate God are going to finally get what they think they want. And just think about how sad that is. You know, all these people that's going to hell, that's not a good thing. And I feel like it's our fault. I feel like we do not do enough as Christians. We don't take the stands we ought to be taking. You know, folks, let me just give you a quick example before we get into the lesson here. If there is a company out here, and I'm going to say it because there is a few companies, Starbucks, one of them. If you as a Christian shouldn't be supporting that. You shouldn't be supporting, you know, they're basically God haters. And if they're listening on the radio, good. Then maybe they'll get a little gospel in today, amen? Amen. But folks, we shouldn't be supporting that. Amen. I mean, we need to look at what the examples we're setting to our children and our grandchildren. And the reason we're in the state that we're in as a nation is because our grandparents and great-grandparents did not set the example that they should have for us. So we constantly slowly drift to the left. And we say, well, we don't. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're all guilty. Every single one of us in this building this morning is guilty. And if you think you've mastered it and you've become the perfect Christian, let's go downtown. I'm going to see you walk across the lake down there. Okay? Yes, we all have sin in our lives. There's some part of our life that we can change and make better. And not because we want to be perfect people and that we're not sin, that we're sinless. That's not what I'm saying. But because we want to serve our God. We should want to serve God with everything we have. And folks, we're so busy serving self that we don't have room and time for God. And a lot of people don't want to face that, but that's the truth. Now, we had a service for Brother Yegert's mother yesterday, and that just kind of sparked in my heart here this morning. When Brother Galleon sung a song about precious memories. And I got to thinking about that. We look at our families, our parents and grandparents, and our sons and daughters, and we create memories throughout our lifetime. And they're very precious. But when we come, if you live to be 140, tomorrow your life's up. You understand that? That's just how fast time goes by. How many of us is really going to make it to 100? Not very many, right? So our time is like the Bible says, that life is but a vapor. Boom, we're gone. So we focus on the memories, and God, bless God for every memory we create. But life is so short. Let me ask you this. When your time comes, when that appointed time comes for you, we can talk about all the memories we want, but what mattered? What truly mattered? See, the only thing you're taking with you is what you did for Christ. That's all you're taking with you. You're not taking anything else. All your goodness, you're going to leave right here. All your wickedness, you're going to leave right here. You're not taking anything with you except for that which you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I thought about that yesterday, I'm like, man, you know, life, we just have a wrong perspective. We don't look at things the way we ought to, especially as Christians. Us being born-again believers, we should be living a life that represents that. Brother Galleon was just singing about the lighthouse. The very spark of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, he breathed life into Adam. The breath of God. And that's instilled in each and every one of us as believers, and each and every one as his creation. And we should be grateful for that which he's given us. And our life should represent that. And sadly, I'm sorry, but it doesn't. You know it doesn't. If you're in this building today, you know what I'm saying is true. Every single one of us is guilty of not serving God in the manner that we ought to serve God. We're so busy serving ourselves. We have feuds between us all the time. This brother got a little more than this brother. Or this brother did a little more than this brother. Well, I don't like what that brother did. I could have done that better. We call that pride, right? But we see, you'll see more of that in Christianity than you see in the world. You go out here in the world, and as prideful as they are, they seem to get along with one another, unless you're a Republican and Democrat. You notice that? But when you're Republican and Democrat, now you got what we call good and evil, right? So that creates a problem. But in the Christian world, in our atmosphere, these things should not be taking place. And they're taking place because of our personal pride. I want to be better than you. And if that's not the truth, then why is there an issue? It doesn't matter what this brother is doing. If he's doing it for the love of Christ, then I should be supporting him 100% in what he's doing. Okay, he's doing better than me. Bless God. Thank God that somebody's getting it done, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when I see somebody else doing it, I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, that's a burden that's lifted off of you. So you should be praying and be proud of these people that God is using. And we should be supporting them. How many people leave a church today because they didn't play a song that they liked? I mean, how many people have left the church because there was no paper towels in the bathroom today? Think about that. That's happened. That has literally happened. Now, maybe the person that was supposed to put the paper towels in there got sick and nobody knew it. Think about that. Maybe they were supposed to come in Saturday night and put them in, and Saturday night they was home in bed. I mean, things like that happen. But we let these little petty things get in the way of what we ought to be doing as Christians. Correct? We're all in agreement. Okay, good. Now we're getting to the lesson. That's gonna put us behind, so we have to go over a little bit. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, you do understand that when we're talking about those that are asleep, we're talking about the saved in Christ that have gone to heaven. Okay? That's who we're speaking of. Then it says, then it goes on to say, sorrow not. Now, sorrow, I lost my spot right here. No hope. No hope, which have no hope. Folks, we got hope, right? Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us to sorrow not as those that have no hope. With those who have no hope, that's we're talking about the lost people. That's those without the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important as we move on here. Now look here what it says in verse 14. "For as we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, how's he going to bring him with them? How is he going to bring them with him when they're dead and buried in a grave? Because this is the argument about the bodily resurrection. If they were in a grave, how could he bring them back? Their spirit's going to heaven, amen? That body's going to be resurrected. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." I want you to notice that he says, "we." We. Now you got to remember, Paul is writing this. And in the time that he was writing this, he was considering the fact that he could be here when that time took place, right? So obviously we could be here when this takes place. And that's something that we need to hang on to. We need to remember that the tribulation period is going to start right after the rapture. Well, when the rapture takes place, we're out of here. So thinking about the memorial service, they've gone home to be with the Lord. Well, you and I are still here today. But what if the rapture takes place today? What if it took place today? And the reason I wanted to point that out is because, especially with people that's 30 years old or 20 years old, they figure they got another 30, 40, 50 years, so they go on through life like nothing matters too much to them. What if the rapture took place this morning? If you're not born again, where are you going to be? You're going to be left behind. So the appointed time for us could be today, couldn't it? Just like Sister Yeager had an appointed time. Well, we've got in the same appointed time. But that doesn't necessarily mean in death itself. If the rapture takes place, boom, that's the end of it for us. We're going to heaven. Well, what are you taking with you? That's what I'm trying to look at this morning. What are you going to take with you? See, God's not done with us. God's got plans for us. But if he was to come get us this morning, what are you taking with you? Are you ready for that appointed time? Are you ready for the rapture to take place? How would you like to meet the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I mean, we say we want to glory in that, right? We want to glory in that. But are you truly ready to meet him eye to eye? Are you going to be able to say that you served him? Is your heart right with the Lord Jesus? See, folks, we have so much in our lives that's out of place. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm saved, I'm born again, and I know I'm going to heaven, and regardless, my sins are washed away. But I remember standing in the presence of my daddy. Sometimes that was a fearful thing. And I feel like it's going to be the same way when we got to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus. You know, even though our sins are washed away, I think we're going to be a little embarrassed. You understand what I'm saying? So I just feel like we as Christians need to get our lives in the proper perspective. In verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, these are the same ones that he's bringing with him, right? Because he said he was bringing them with him that is asleep. Now it's saying that the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, there is a bodily resurrection. I want to point that out because I hear so many teachings that teach, you know, contrary to that. But there is a bodily resurrection. "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Ever be with the Lord. According to what we just read right there, you're not going to be called out. You're not going to be stand before God and then be cast out. Because it says, we shall ever be with the Lord. So therefore, my security in the Lord Jesus Christ is permanent. There's so many people today that have this idea that they're going to be caught up or they're going to die and go to heaven. And then they're going to face judgment and their fate will be determined at that time. No. You're either sealed with the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're not. And that takes place while you're here and while you're alive. Each and every one of us have a personal decision to make. Either you accept or you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was talking with my wife the other day because she was asking me about, because I said something about children. You know, how you witness to children, you have to witness very, very carefully. And the reason for that, because this is what happens, and a lot of adults do this. They can get up out of their seat during a service, and they come down at the end of the service when the invitation is given, and they come down and they say a prayer. And at that point, they figure this, okay, they're going to heaven. That's not the way it works. See, that's no different than a sacrament, which takes place in the Catholic Church. Just because you said a prayer, that doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. That's not what happens. See, we don't read the entire scripture. And we allow things to take place that shouldn't be taking place. What does the Bible teach us? The Bible tells us, it doesn't say that we have to walk an aisle and say a prayer. And the Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches us that we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. You understand that if a person's in here today and the gospel's preached, that person's convicted, that person says, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. When they realize that they're a sinner and they need to be saved, do you understand they're saved at that point? When that person realizes I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. And they go to stand up. Do you understand that they've already purposed in their heart that they need the Lord God? Amen. That's what makes you saved. Not walking down the aisle and saying a prayer. It's believing in the heart. That's what makes us saved. And there's so many places we get all that all twisted up. But we need to just keep it simple. The gospel is just that. Very simple. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any simpler. But man has a way of making it complicated. Go with me over to Timothy. Let me make sure I get the right section here. There were times running low, so we got to... I lost it. My Bible, somebody took it out this morning. Okay. Go to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Now listen to what this says. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Does that sound familiar? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. That's in the last days. Does that sound familiar? Does that not sound like today? And do you understand when it's saying unholy, that's not talking about just being unsaved. When it says unholy, that's the opposite of holy. Now, just think about that for a minute. That makes people haters of God. That's people who literally, they can't stand the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't stand anything that he represents. And that's where we're at today. How about what the Bible says, it will be as in the days of Noah. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying. And what are they doing today? Can you imagine Noah in his day building the ark and people passing by and mocking him, scorning him? How many believers were there at that time? How many people got on the ark? You know, the crowd didn't get on the ark, did they? They didn't believe. They hated everything that Noah represented. But what happened when the flood came? God sealed him in, and the rest perished. What happens if the rapture takes place today? We're sealed. We're sealed in. You understand that when you read the story of Noah, God closed the door. God sealed the door. Jesus is our ark. We're sealed in by the hand of God. So when rapture takes place, those that are left, it's going to be just like it was in the day of Noah. They're going to be destroyed. I hear so many people talking about, well, I'll get saved in the tribulation. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're not going to get saved during the tribulation period. There's going to be a great delusion that's going to fall on everybody that they shall believe a lie. Folks, the cross is going to be withdrawn. You're not going to get saved during the tribulation period. They need to go back and reread some of that. It's not going to happen. If you wait till that day, it's too late. Just like in the day of Noah, it's too late. How about in the day of Lot? What happened when Lot left Sodom? It rained fire and brimstone, right? Sodom was destroyed. Does that sound familiar to you today? I mean, today, the Sodomites are waving a rainbow flag, which, by the way, the flag, the rainbow is a peace treaty between us and our God, that God would never flood the earth. And they want to take it and make something wicked out of it. But the Sodomites in Sodom were destroyed. The same is going to happen today. If that rapture takes place today, Sodom is going to be destroyed. And you know something? People are walking out of churches today, and churches are closing down, and people are hollering. And if the right people are listening on the radio, they're going to be upset, mad, and screaming. But that doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change what God has given us to be fact. We as Christians, you and I, need to stand against everything that's wicked. Don't let, and this is what's happening, folks, all around the world. We're trying to teach our churches that we need to be more complacent. We need to accept these people. No, we don't. No, we don't. We don't have to change our ways. This is God's house. It should be treated as God's house. It should be treated respectfully as God's house. And if a Sodomite wanted to come in and listen to the gospel and get saved, he's welcome. But they're not going into our lady. Men aren't going into our ladies' bathrooms. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I understand that the world says that we're bigots for that. No. No. We're following the commandments of God. But, folks, you and I, we're living in the last days. We see where they're going to be disobedient. They're going to be blasphemers. That's what we hear right now. You know, why do you hear so much about Trump? You know, Trump's trying to do what's right. And by doing what's right, He's hated. He's hated for that. And it's the same way with you and I. If you stand for what's right, you're not going to be real popular. People aren't really going to like you. Do you really care? You know, are you worried about God or are you worried about the individual people here? We should be worried about the things of God. Disobedient, unthankful, unthankful. Folks, unthankful. That's where we're at today. People aren't thankful for anything. I see Christians, and this bothers me. I'll see Christians that will go in and sit down and have a meal and never ask God's blessings. Folks, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, we ought to thank our Lord God for everything He gives us every day. You know, without His blessings, without His rain, and without His grass, there is no beef, there is no vegetables. Everything that we consumed is by God's grace. And we as Christians should be setting the example. And daddies, who's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home? Not mama. Daddy is. Daddy is the one who's supposed to be the spiritual leader. And daddy's going to stand before God for that. But it's daddy's place. You know, being a big man is not because you can drink a keg of beer. You know what I'm saying? But that's where our world is today. Our world today is, hey, I'm a big man. I drank 3 kegs the other night. No, that doesn't make you big. What makes you big is raising your children correctly, taking care of your family correctly, paying your bills the way you're supposed to. These are the things that makes us men. These are the things that we as men are supposed to be doing. But there's too many of us today that has fallen by the wayside, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because we don't stand up as spiritual leaders of our homes. When we sit down to the supper table, the father ought to be leading the prayer. The father ought to be thanking God for what he's given his family. But too many of us today are trying to pass everything off to mama. That's not where the trouble belongs. It belongs on us. It's us. It's our place to take care of our families. It's our place to teach our children. Folks, we send our children off to school. We send our children off to churches. We send our children out into the world, and we allow the world to teach our children. And then we can't figure out why when they're 35 years old, they're not in church. Why are they not teaching their kids? Do you understand that when you fail as a father to teach your children about God, do you understand your children are going to hell? See, I can't get a hold of that. I can't grasp that. I'm going to tell my son what's right and wrong. If he gets mad at me, so be it. I would rather have my son to hate me and be on his way to heaven than to love me on his way to hell. Folks, we got to learn to look at things for what it truly is. That day of appointment is coming for each and every one of us, whether it be through the rapture or whether it be through death. Either way, we're going to stand before God. And the question is, how are we standing? Are we saved, born-again believers? Are we doing the things that we ought to be doing? Folks, the way we present and represent ourselves, every single person in this building, if you want to go home today and live a life outside of that which is holy, that's your choice. But don't think that it doesn't matter, because it does. Somebody is watching you. Somebody somewhere is seeing you. And when they look at you, they're supposed to be looking at Christ. And trust me, lost people, when they see you, that's the first thing they think. Well, he claims to be a Christian. And look at what they're doing. So what does that do to them? If you're a truly born again believer and you're truly saved and you're doing something that which is wrong, it's not going to send you to hell. Am I right? You're saved. Sin's forgiven. But you might be sending your neighbor to hell. Because your neighbor sees that and decides he doesn't need it because he's just as good as you. And he is in the flesh. They don't understand that they're going to hell because of it. And it's especially with our children. We don't need to let our children grow up and being taught by false teachers things that aren't true and things that aren't right. We need to make sure, and it is our responsibility, to make sure that we have our families and churches that are teaching the truth out of this book, not some other book. Amen? And we got to quit because we're out of time. What is our count, my brother? Hey, we're up.